First John this evening. First John chapter number 1. First John chapter 1 verse 5. Verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If," and notice these ifs in each of the last five verses, there is this word if. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Amen. This evening I have this thought: five enormous ifs, I-F-Fs. This little word if, such a small little word, but it makes all the difference in the world.
Amen.
Dear friends, the inspired writer here makes some faith-clarifying comments in these passages. There are people who make claims all the time, but just because they say it is so doesn't mean it is so. John says somebody can say this, but if that's not the case, and then he goes on through these different lists of things of saying that either His word is not in us, or we are liars, or we would, as it were, make God a liar. We need to consider these enormous ifs. He, and I call them counterfeit claims, in verses 6, 8, and 10, there are three counterfeit claims made, and we'll get into those in just a moment. Verse 6 is a negative, verse 7 a positive, verse 8 a negative, verse 9 a positive, verse 10 a negative again. It's back and forth and back and forth in this way. I tried to submit to you as we began this study that one of the most important words in chapter 1 is the word fellowship. Fellowship. You'll notice that it is mentioned four or five times in these 10 verses. And what John has to say about the ifs here begins with, "If we say," verse 6, "that we have fellowship with Him." And I'd like to talk, and this is where I don't want to spend too much time, but I think it's important that we try to get out and reach and get a better hold of what it means to fellowship with one another and to fellowship with God.
Amen.
It says right here very plainly that if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Amen.
We studied last week in verse 3, it says that we have fellowship one with another, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So what is fellowship? If we can have fellowship one with another, if we may have fellowship with God, what is that word fellowship? And I think that if we fail to understand that there is a difference between having fellowship with God and having a relationship with God, it'll make a huge difference in our understanding of what John is saying here. Listen to me. Fellowship and relationship are not the same. Every person who has been born again by the good grace of God is in a relationship with the Father.
Amen.
You understand that? My wife and I celebrate our anniversary today. 14 years ago, we entered into a covenant relationship one with another. And down through that 14 years, there have been times, and I'll say this cautiously and carefully, there have been times during that 14 years when our fellowship just wasn't as sweet as at other times. Anybody, don't give me that look, anybody who has been involved in a relationship knows this to be true. Doesn't matter what the relationship is. It can be church member to church member. It can be husband and wife. It can be child and parent. It can be worker and employee, or employee and supervisor. In any relationship, there are times that your fellowship is sweeter than there are at other times. That's just it is a common law. It's true. And that is no less true in our relationship with God. And this is the glorious thing that we need to get a hold of, is no matter what, I am His and He is mine. Bless God and hallelujah. The day He saved me, and I could even go back a little bit further and say the day that He chose me in Christ, we entered into a covenant relationship, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, to redeem my lost soul. I'm His and He's mine. That's forever true. Through the good days of me basking in the brilliance of God's good grace, and in the bad days when I flee from Him, I'm still His and He's still mine. Amen. That relationship never changes. On the days, my children, I sat this afternoon, and as I thought about this, I thought there are times that my children, that I delight in them. And there are times when I get frustrated with them. There are times that they make me happy. And there are times when they make me other than happy. And that's how it is, but they're still my children. That relationship doesn't change. And I'm so glad, aren't you so glad, that your relationship with God, amen, is not based on what you do and what you don't do.
Amen.
Your relationship with God is not based on how closely in fellowship you walk with Him. You're His if you're truly saved. You are in a relationship with Him. He loved you, and He died for you, and He bought you, and He purchased you with the price of His own blood. You're His. And although your fellowship may vary, the relationship never does.
Amen.
And so, dear friends, what I want us to try to understand is that fellowship. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, but we don't have a relationship with Him, it's a lie. You understand that? You cannot fellowship with God if you don't have a relationship with God. You could try, but you cannot fellowship with Him. And we'll get into that a little bit more and clarify that a little more in detail. But what glorious good news is to be found that my God and my Savior will forever be mine.
Amen.
I am redeemed. And the Lord will never take me back or trade me in.
Amen.
I'm redeemed. My goodness, what a glorious truth that is.
Amen.
Now there are times, now listen, in my Christian walk when my fellowship's not the same with Him. The problem with that is that I know good and well that it's not God's fault. It's not any failure of God. The times when our fellowship is not as sweet with God, that is not in any way, we cannot point fingers and say, God moved from me, rather we move from God.
Amen.
You understand? In a marriage relationship, usually when fellowship is severed, one or both parties are guilty of sin. I don't know how else to put it. I could pretty it up a little bit, but that's what it is. In a marriage relationship, when that husband and wife who are to be one, that brings my mind to Jesus' prayer in John 17. Father, I pray that they will be one as we're one.
Amen.
And we ought to fellowship with Him in an intimate way. Anyway, whenever a couple, their fellowship divides, it's because sin has entered in it. And when our fellowship with God divides, it's because sin has driven a wedge between us and God.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. We should value having fellowship with God.
Amen.
I mentioned this. You know how sometimes as a preacher you have a strong point and you throw it out before you're ready to, but to fellowship with God, to be two fellows in the same ship with Christ our Savior, fellowship with Him. Now that word has such power, it has such meaning. And in the Old Testament, we talk all the time about fellowship. We have fellowship hall, we have fellowship meetings, we talk about fellowship. And I think sometimes we don't even know what the word is. You know, we use it a lot, but we're not all that familiar with the word itself. In the Old Testament, the word has the idea of a partnership. A partnership. I'll just give this to you, and I'm not going to read this, but Leviticus 6, verse 2 talks about fellowship. And I'll use this as an example. Today, I went over to our neighbors and told them that we will be out of town next week. And I asked him, I said, while we're out of town, will you just sort of keep an eye on the place? We shook hands. We entered into an agreement with each other. I asked him to do this. He agreed to do this. And that's exactly what Leviticus 6, verse 2 is talking about. We entered into a verbal contract, one with another, a partnership to some extent, one with another. And if while we were gone, our neighbor broke into our home, stole a bunch of things, and then when we got back and I said, what happened? He threw up his hands and said, I have no idea. Everything, I didn't see anything wrong. I didn't see anyone break in. And the whole time he's deceiving me. He has bridged or broken that partnership that we had one with another. We have entered into a fellowship, a partnership one with another. And he breached that verbal contract by his conduct. And that's how it is with God. To some degree, and I hope you don't try to take this any further than I intended, but the word fellowship in the Old Testament talks about a partnership. To some degree, you and I are in a partnership with our God. He has entered into a covenant with us. And He has committed to do such a thing for us. But the problem is, we don't always live up to our end of the bargain. We don't always do what we have committed to do. And by that, we breach that contract, or we hinder that partnership, or we hurt that fellowship with God. And my dear friends, we ought to value that fellowship. And this is where I'm going, and you'll get here in a minute. I'm concerned about men and women who say they love God, but they don't value fellowship with God. You understand that? That's where I'm headed with this. We should value. You know how sweet it is in the home when there is good fellowship there? You know what it is on the other end. Amen. Anybody been married a little while, you know the other side. You ever go home and there's not peace there, that's an awful place to go. But when you have a home where love abides and where there's joy and happiness and there's contentment and delight, that's sweet fellowship. And that's how it ought to be with us and God.
Amen.
We ought to take delight in being with Him and fellowshipping with Him. In the New Testament, the word even takes on a more intimate meaning. The Apostle Paul said, I may know Him, and listen, and the fellowship of His sufferings. In other words, I want to share in that with Him. And when you and I talk about fellowshipping one with another, we're talking about sharing one with another. Communing. That word, the Greek word that is translated fellowship is also translated as communion in our King James Bibles. We have communion. We share. We fellowship. One with another, with God. And certainly that ought to mean a great deal to us. And what we find in verse 6 is where John says, let me clarify something. Let me make something definitively plain. If, and that's that first if, and I don't know if I'll get all five of them in tonight, but the first if is, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and we walk in darkness, we lie.
Right.
And do not the truth.
Amen.
In other words, what he's saying is, if you claim that you are in partnership with God and you're walking in darkness, you're lying.
Amen.
You understand that? If you claim that you are communing with God, that you are sharing with God, and you're living in darkness, you do not the truth. Your life. And I have run into countless men and women who are living in darkness, but their proclamation is, oh preacher, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've got news. You're not okay. You're lying. You get on and find out right here, you can find you have deceived yourself. People who care not for the things of God, who care not for fellowship with God, who don't care about praying and studying God's Word, yet they want to say that they are in fellowship with Him, they're lying. I'm not trying to be mean, cruel, or crude, but it needs to be said, it needs to be understood that there are some people who profess something, but they don't possess it.
Amen.
You understand that? They have said this, but if they walk in darkness, then they lie and do not the truth.
Amen.
God's children need to learn something. You cannot, you know what Elimelech learned? You cannot fellowship with God while living in the land of Moab. You with me? Lot learned you cannot fellowship with God while dwelling in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. David learned you cannot fellowship with God by dwelling in the land of Ziklag.
Amen.
Peter learned you cannot fellowship with God while you're standing by the fires warming yourself with the world.
Amen.
God's children need to learn. Now I'm going to talk to the lost and to the saved both, but God's children need to learn that if you're walking in darkness, or in other words, if you have turned away from God and you are walking in darkness, your relationship with God may be there, but the fellowship is not there.
Amen.
Is that understood? You cannot walk in darkness and claim to be fellowshipping with God. Why is that? Look at the close of verse 5. Look what it says. God is light.
Amen.
And in Him is no darkness at all. Someone who says they're fellowshipping with God and they're walking in darkness, they're lying, because God is light.
Amen.
If they were fellowshipping with God, they would not be in darkness, they would be in light. Is that understood? Isn't that plain enough? I've talked to people, prayed with people, yearned with people who have said to me, "Well, preacher, you know I'm not where I need to be spiritually, and I know I'm not doing right, but I'm okay. Me and God are okay." You're not okay. You're not fellowshipping with Him. And while it may be true that you might be saved, a lack of concern of a fellowship with the Father should cause somebody to question whether or not they really have a relationship with the Father. And that's where I'm going. God is light. Could you imagine somebody wallowing around in the mud with the hogs, saying, "Don't worry about me, I'm clean and pure as a driven smoke"? Well, that's what people say when they say that they fellowship with God and walk in darkness. It is as if someone was down in the depths of a cave down in the center of the earth, blindly surrounded by absolute darkness, but jumps up and says, "Don't worry about me, I'm okay, I'm basking in the sunlight." That's how it is when God's children get away from God. They may deceive themselves. They may convince themselves, "Hey, I'm okay." You're not. You're not okay. Don't try to suggest it. This is an enormous if. Don't try to say that you're walking with God if you are surrounded by darkness.
Amen.
We learn from the book of James that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. If you were walking with God, you'd be walking in light. For God is light, and in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And I wish people would stop and consider that they may be able to fool me, and they may be able to fool others, and they may be even able to fool themselves, but they won't fool God.
Amen.
You won't fool God, because God knows good and well who is fellowshipping with Him and who isn't.
Amen.
There are a lot of people, I'm afraid, who care little. Listen to me as I try to say this well. There are a lot of people who I'm afraid that their lack of care over their fellowship with God is an indication that they don't have a relationship with God. Now, I'm not trying to point any fingers, because if I started, I'd have to start right here, because there was a time in my own life, and if we're not careful, it could happen to any of us.
Amen.
But there was a time in my own life when I was walking in darkness, saved, born again, but walking in darkness. And I tried to convince myself I was okay, that I could just flip on the light switch and me and God would be right there together. But it's not true. You can't dwell in darkness. You can't walk in darkness. You can't habitually stay in darkness and I all at the same time say, well, me and God are still fellowshipping. That's not true. You've got to walk in the light as He is in the light. And that's what the next verse gets to. You understand? I'm all right, preacher. No, you're not all right. Verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Now, He's already made it pretty plain that if you walk in the darkness, you're not fellowshipping with Him. But verse 7 comes to the positive side of that. Negative, positive, positive. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Amen.
And glorious, glorious amen and hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Amen.
Contrary-wise to verse 6, we can know that we are fellowshipping with Him if we are surrounded by light. Now, how is it with you in your personal walk with Christ? Are you walking in darkness? Or are you walking in light? It's not some great mystery. I don't believe you have to sit here and scratch the back of your head. I think it ought to be pretty evident. Where are you in your Christian walk with God? Do you delight to fellowship with Him? Do you delight in the things of God? The Word of God and the people of God and communion with God? Do you delight in these things? All of these things are manifestations of light. And if you're not dwelling there, then you're not fellowshipping. At best, you're not fellowshipping with God. And at worst, you don't have a relationship with God. How gloriously sweet it is. And now, let me tell you something. I wallered in the mud, and I stood in the sunshine. And it's a whole lot better in the sunshine.
Amen.
Where God is light. I can tell you that. Ask that old prodigal son where it's better at.
Amen.
Is it better down there where you would fain fill your belly with the husk that the swine did eat? Down there feeding the old hogs and trying to eat their slop? Or is it better back at the Father's house?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you it's better at the Father's house. Because in the Father's house it's light. And it's beautiful and it's pure and it's holy and it's good and it's just. And every one of us, though we battle with sin, and He'll address this, though we battle with sin, our desire should be that we remain in fellowship with Him.
Amen.
Stay in fellowship with Him. There are things that we can do that hinder fellowship, and there are things that we can do that aid our fellowship with Him. I guess one of the reasons why we desire so much to see people more faithful to the Lord's house is we know how it affects their fellowship with God.
Amen.
But it's not just that, because I know reading the Word, delighting in prayer, communing with God's saints, these are all things that the child of God delights in when they are rightly fellowshipping with Him. I'm closer. I told you all this in the short time we've known each other. I'm closer to you than I am some of my own blood. And that's just a fact. We've got something, you and I, a fellowship that I don't have with some of my family. Because they're not fellowshipping with God. Many of them don't know God. And I'd love to see them basking in the brilliance of the light of God. God is light. Jesus said this. Let me read this to you. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. They came to John and said, John, are you that light? He said, no, I'm not that light. I came to bear witness of that light.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not. Isn't that pretty plain? shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Amen.
Are you following Him? If you are following Him, you are walking in light. If you're walking in darkness, it's because you're not following Him. If your Christian walk and your Christian life is not where it should be, then you are surrounded by darkness. We fellowship. Can I say it this way? We are two fellows in the same ship. We are partners. When we are in the light, as He is in the light. And while we are in the light, while we are shaking hands with God, and I speak metaphorically, while we are shaking hands in that covenant bond in the light, the blood of His Son cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I want to try to clarify something as much as I can. There are some of God's children who walk away from Him, turn their backs and walk away. Now, it happens. It just happens. Happened to me, it's happened to others, and as long as the Lord tarries, it's just part of life. It's heartbreaking, but it is part of this Christian life. And if they are truly saved, they'll never give an account for their sin before God, because their sin is washed whiter than snow in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. But you need to understand that they will leave this earth out of fellowship with God. And that is no light thing. It is no light matter to be out of fellowship with God. The question really is not, are those who are saved and turn their back? The question is not, is the blood of Christ sufficient to cleanse them? The question really is, have they been washed by the blood? When you get over here, and I don't want to get too far ahead, but he's going to say right here in 1 John 2:19 that these people went out from us because they were not of us.
Amen.
You understand that? Some of the people walk away because they are, just simply are, not of us. They're just not saved. That's why I think it's so hard for some people to stay in fellowship with God. They just don't have a relationship with God. I know when I was walking in darkness, it grieved me every step that I took. It hurt me. And it bothered me. And I knew that I was living in sin. One of the reasons why I didn't want to be around Christian people a whole lot is it increased my guilt. It just did. But God brought me to the place of that prodigal son that I no longer desired to walk in that darkness. I had enough of it. Too much heartache and suffering walking in the darkness. When, as a child of God, I could be sitting at the Father's house delighting in His light. I would not say that any child of God who is truly saved, even if they are out of fellowship with Him, I will not say that God will hold their sin to their account. But I will say that it is an awful thing to be out of fellowship with Him.
Amen.
I believe it's a little bit what Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount when He gives the model prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name," and it goes down, and at the close of this, He says that we are to forgive men their trespasses. And He says it like this: if you forgive men their trespasses, then My Father will forgive you your trespasses. And He says, if you forgive not, then My Father will not forgive you. Does that mean that if we fail to forgive another, that God will not forgive us? I don't believe that's what He's talking about. I think He's talking about our fellowship with Him. Fellowship will never be restored if we fail to forgive. We are commanded to forgive one another, even as Christ has also forgiven us. If we fail to do that, it hinders our fellowship with God. If it hinders our fellowship with our fellow man. And I'm going to tell you something, dear friends, that it ought to matter. It ought to mean something to a child of God that they're not in fellowship with Him. There is a fountain filled with blood. drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that beautiful? His blood cleanses us from all trespasses. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. In verse number 8, He offers up this third if. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I struggled, if you'll notice, verse 8 and verse 10 almost look like sister verses, and to some extent they are. And I struggled a little bit trying to get an understanding of this. And I believe that verse 8 is talking like this. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, if we say that there's no such thing as sin, if we say that we've not committed any sin, then the truth is not in us, we deceive ourselves. And I think verse 10 is talking about after our conversion, after we're saved, if we say that we have not sinned, then we're lying. That's my take of it, and that's how I will intend to develop it. Verse 8, verse 10 seems to be copies of one another, but I think verse 8 deals with those who would claim that they have no sin now, even before their conversion, those that would claim that there's no such thing as sin, and I have not sinned. And it may seem strange for you and I to imagine that, but there are, and there is, whatever the correct way to say this, there is an ever-growing populace of people who claim that they have no sin. You hear me? We live in a nation, in a society of people who are ever more increasingly say that there is no sin. Our nation has turned more and more to the place where nothing is ever called sin or recognized as sin. You just about have to do something pretty bad for the world to look down on it anymore. People's awful conduct, we are told, is merely a result of their poor environment. When's the last time you turned on the news? And I can answer this before I ask it. And the answer is never. When was the last time you turned on the news and you heard the word sin? They have, I don't know how many news channels that run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't know how many of them there are. When's the last time you heard the word sin come out of a single one of them? Is it sin? Does John not tell us a little bit later on what sin is? Sin is the transgression of the law. Do we not daily find that there are men and women scattered all over this globe and in our nation who sin again and again and again, but are never is it called what it is, sin.
Right.
We pretty it up. We call it all kinds of things. We say men and women are afflicted with illnesses and they have certain diseases. They weren't brought up properly. You know, it takes a village, right? Rather than just simply saying what it is, and it is sin. There are men, I have talked to men and women, and I've asked them if they were sinners, and they said no.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Who have said, I'm not a sinner. Now, they can claim it all they want to, but I tell you what I read right here, verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive who? We deceive ourselves.
Amen, bro.
And the truth is not in us. I've been out door knocking, witnessing, talking to people. When you go out there, you say, you know what sin is? Are you a sinner? Well, no, there's no such thing as sin. Well, you're deceiving yourself.
That's right.
And the truth's not in you. Because this book right here tells me, for all have sinned.
Amen.
A-L-L. And come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. I can get in Romans 3 if you want to. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. We are altogether unprofitable. There is, Psalm 14, I believe, same thing. There is none, no, not one. We're all sinners. My dear friends, let people make all the erroneous claims they want to. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
Amen.
Ask your American, your average, and I'll get into something here. Ask your average American Christian today, what is sin? It'd be interesting, except it'd probably break your heart to hear their poor definitions.
That's right.
Almost everything under the sun either is or is in the process of being condoned. I don't know. I honestly don't. And I'm not a doomsday, you know, there's no hope kind of preacher. I'm not, because I pray that for this nation that God can make a change. But if the Lord tarries, it's unimaginable the things that 50 years from now that'll go on.
Amen.
Some of you folks that are 60 and 70 plus, could you imagine 30, 40 years ago that we would see the things that you see that is accepted and commonplace in our nation? And it's not called sin.
That's right.
You understand that? I have a heart for sinners. I love sinners. I don't care who they are, what they are. The blood of Christ can cleanse them just like it cleansed me.
Amen.
But my dear friends, if somebody say that there is no sin, they deceive themselves and the truth is not in them.
True.
It doesn't take a village. It takes somebody with the guts to stand up and say what sin is sin.
Amen.
I ask you this evening, and I'm going to bring us to a close, but I ask you this evening, are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Can you say this evening, you know who worries me? You know, and I say this, I know, you know, as a child of God, I'm not supposed to worry. Let me say it better. You know the people that concern me are the not that bad. That's who concerns me. The ones who say, I'm not that bad. I've never met anyone. You listen to me. I've never met anyone whom I had any real confidence in their salvation who would say, I'm not that bad. Every person that I've ever met that I really had confidence in their salvation, and you understand in the scheme of things, it doesn't matter a whole lot what I think anyway. It matters, you know, their true standing before God. But I hope that my opinion means something, okay? And I've never met anyone whom I really believed was saved that wouldn't come right out and say that I'm the chiefest of sinners.
Right.
If you look at yourself and you think I'm not that bad, you better find out whether or not you're in Christ. If you say you have no sin, then you deceive yourself. We get ahead of this, and I think if you get down to verse 10 where it talks about even after salvation, you say you didn't sin, you better wake up.
Right.
You better wake up. The Apostle Paul could say, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I don't know if there's any of us here as one whit ahead of him. Are you not that bad, or are you a sinner? Have you ever come to the place where you say, I'm a sinner? And I pray that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, would cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Where are you? My dear friends, I hope you can say, you get on the other side of this, and we'll get into this, Lord willing, in a couple weeks. But verse 9, he comes back with another positive, if we confess our sins.
Amen.
If you'll own up to what you are, amen, things start getting good from there. But I'm going to quit, because, you know, it's that time, but I appreciate it. I don't like cutting off right in the middle, but chapter 2 just swings right in behind chapter 1. Chapter 1 talks about, you know, if we say that we have no sin, chapter 2 just begins right out with saying that I write this unto you that you don't sin.
Amen.
But if you do sin, you got an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
And man, that's good. That's really good.
Amen.
We looked at three of the five, what I call enormous ifs. How is it with you tonight?